What's up? This is Pastor Travis. Thank you for tuning in to Desperation Church Podcast. Each message is prepared through the Holy Spirit, empowered and inspired with you in mind. Now prepare your hearts for a message from God today.
Hey, listen, I know that December the 20th is today. Merry Christmas, by the way. Okay, you're supposed to say Merry Christmas back, but it's all good. All right.
I don't talk in church, bless God.
Listen, Merry Christmas. Make my heart feel warm inside. Listen, usually right now we would preach a message on baby Jesus, and I had planned on doing that, but God changed everything back in October, somewhere like that, for December. And so we are going to continue our series on Make Your Life Count. I may just give a little plug about this Christmas story today, a little bit, just to make you feel better for those that got to have it, okay? We're talking about making your life count, and how do we do that? And so we're talking about Desperation Church in the middle of God's story, all right? God is always writing his story. He's got a story right here, Genesis to Revelation, that he wrote, but he's still writing his story today in the 21st century, and we are his characters, all right? The church is his design. That's who he's called us to be, but you make the church up, all right? You're the one that makes the church happen, all right? And so we've been talking about Desperation Church in the middle of God's story. And so the first week, we talked about the past things that God has done at Desperation Church and basically what he's doing. And then we talked about last week, the present. Don't miss the moment in your own personal life because you make up the church and in Desperation Church. And so today, we want to talk about the future, okay? Now listen, I'm going to give you more details future-wise on Vision Night on what I feel like God's doing at Desperation. I'm just going to be more general today on what I really believe God's calling us to. If you want to find out more details, come to Vision Night, December the 28th in Coleman. We'll have food provided, 6:30. I promise you don't want to miss. We've probably got almost 400 people signed up now, okay? And so I'm hoping that we can get over the 400 mark and that you just as many people as possible will come and be a part, because I really believe God's going to do some big things. I'm telling you, it's going to be incredible. You don't want to miss that night. And if you just happen to be from Jasper, it's December the 27th in Jasper at 5 o'clock, okay? Hey, listen, so today I want to talk to you about future, okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 7. Now listen, before we dive into the Word, there's a lot of people... I've heard say things like, you get out what you put in. No pain, no gain. You know, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of us that want things to come easy. But to be honest, anything great that comes into your life is going to have to be intentional. Intentional living. I heard John Maxwell, who is a leadership guru, he said, everything in life worth having is going to be uphill. He says, you have to work for it. You have to sacrifice for it. You have to take risks for it. And if you're going to have a worthwhile life every day, you're going to have an intentional life and climb the hill. You know, I believe that goes for anything in life, whether physical or spiritual. I think it goes both and. And by the way, I'm not preaching works today. I'm talking about pursuing Jesus. You know, every day people coast downhill, expecting things to come with ease or expecting others to make things happen for them. Now listen, these people who coast are the ones who are missing out on life. Coasting is a waste. And if you're coasting spiritually, you're missing out. If you're coasting physically, you know, hey, maybe you own a business here. If you're coasting in your business, there's a great possibility your business is not producing. The only way to produce is to go uphill. It's a strive every single day. You know, I really believe that there is a lot of people who coast spiritually in life, and they miss incredible blessing. They miss incredible blessings. Because I would step out and say people who step out by faith, take risk, walk in the unknown, sacrifice, are experiencing more blessings than those who do nothing. And you'll never know until you step out by faith and do things. You know, let me give you a different illustration. you know, thinking about working out. My little boy's always talking about, I want a six pack. I want a six pack. I said, I hope you're talking about your stomach. All right, listen, I want a six pack. And so he said, Dad, give me a workout. Give me a workout. And so I like give him some kind of CrossFit workout. And man, he just knocks it out like it ain't nothing. Give me another one. I want a six pack. Now listen, one thing about it is if you want a six pack, if you are here and you want muscles, all right, if you want a six pack, if you want traps, if you want pectorals, all right? I called it pectorals earlier and they said that is not right after the service the last time. It's pectorals, all right? If you want to work out and get strong, listen, you can't pray for big muscles and get big muscles, all right? You can't say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just pray you'd give me some big traps. I pray you'd give me big arms, God. And I'm just laying hands right now on my pectorals and just God asking that you'd just help me out, God. It'll never happen, all right? You know, I think about you can't eat right and get big muscles. I'm going to eat lots and lots and lots of protein. Well, you got to do other things if you're going to eat protein to make pie muscles pop out, all right? Listen, you can't eat enough spinach, by the way. Listen, you can't sleep on it and get big muscles. The only way that you can get the six-pack or the muscles that you want is you've got to be intentional to get those. I've got to go to the gym. I've got to eat right. I've got to stay away from the steroids. I've got to go and get big muscles, and I got to work for it to happen. It just don't happen. And, you know, in a sense, that kind of goes for anything in life. That goes living intentional. If I've got something I'm wanting to achieve, I just can't sit around, twiddle my thumbs, and expect it to happen. I'm moving towards it. This is what Galatians 6, 7 through 9 says. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Doing good is intentional. It's obedience. It's saying yes to Jesus. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up in the flesh and we walk in the Spirit, a harvest will come in the future. A harvest will come. So the way that we sow today reaps a harvest in the future, whether it's individual or whether it is church. So the way that we reap today, the way we sow today, reaps the future. And so what you put in is what you get out. You know, when it talks about the flesh, I believe that it's talking about selfishness. When I live for my pleasures, when I live only for my needs, the more I live for me, the more death is produced. And so if you're here today and you're thinking on a regular basis, my God, there's got to be more to life than this. There's a great possibility you've made your own plans for your life and God has not been a part of it, because whenever you are in love with Jesus and following him, he gives you purpose. And you won't be making comments like, my God, there's got to be more to life than this, because you realize that your life is Jesus. So when I live for my pleasures, when I live for my needs, the more I live for me, the more death is produced. It produces bad decisions. It produces destruction. But when we live to please the Spirit, we reap eternal life. Now, what is the Spirit of God about? Just as simple as I can put it, I'm going to put it in simple layman terms as much as possible. The flesh is about selfishness. That's why the Bible says in Luke 9:23, I use this verse on a regular basis, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Put the flesh to death. Put selfishness to death. The Spirit, walking in the Spirit, as easy as I can put this, is selflessness. Is giving your life away to God first and to others second. This is not my life, and I'm giving it away. And when we begin to sow into the Spirit and walk selfless, we begin to enhance our own personal lives, the kingdom and the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is being enhanced when we walk selfless. You know, I believe there's a lot of good church-going people today who are missing the harvest, who are missing what life is all about, because they're not sowing into the kingdom of God. Hey, where's the greatest place to invest? in your life. We're always investing. We're constantly investing. When we go to a restaurant, we are investing in the food that we're about to receive, hoping that it's good. Maybe not be good for us, but we're hoping that it's good. When we go to a clothing store, we are investing in the clothes that we're buying, hoping that when we wear them, somebody says, oh, you look so cute, all right? We're hoping that it makes our lives better some way, form, or fashion, that I'm getting my money's worth. But here's the big picture. The only thing that matters, the only thing that lasts when we invest, when we sow into something, the only thing that lasts is kingdom, is eternal things. Everything else will burn up one day, but the kingdom will last forever. And so when we sow into the kingdom, we are using our gifts, talents, and everything else with purpose. You know, sowing into the kingdom has a lot of different ways it can be done. It can look like sowing your gifts and your talents. It can look like sowing your time. It can look like sowing your prayers. It can look like sowing your finances. I mean, there's a jillion different. I'm just giving you just a few of them. I mean, that's what God's called us to do. You know, there's a great possibility there are some of you asking, like, hey, why in the world do you talk about the church, the body, so much? Why do you say things that you believe that the local church is the hope of the world? Why do you say that kind of stuff all the time? I say it, and I'm going to say, because those who have been here a long time have heard me say this over and over and over again, because the church is God's design. God was the one that created the church to represent Him. And if we walk the ways that God's called us to walk and represent Him well, then God will use us to do powerful things. This is what it says in Matthew 16, verse 18. This is Jesus talking to Peter. He says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So basically, Jesus says, I am going to build my church. Now, there is a huge debate on whether he's talking to Peter as being the rock and the church is built on Peter. And then a lot of theologians believe that Jesus was talking about himself, that on this rock, me, I am the cornerstone. There's a lot of other scriptures really kind of out there that back up Jesus being the cornerstone of the church. And basically, Jesus is saying that on this rock, on this cornerstone, on this foundation, talking about himself, I will build the church, and I will use you, Peter, to get it started. I'm going to use you. That's what all these, you know what all the apostles were? They were church planners. Makes me feel woman's eye. All right, listen. The rock that Jesus was talking about was himself. He's the one that's going to build the church. So if Jesus is the one that is the foundation of the church, and the church is to look like Jesus, we are his hands and feet, what should the church look like? You make up the church, so what should we look like as individuals and together? What should we look like? Let me just give you a few things we should look like. Because this is who Jesus is, all right? How about help take care of the poor? Now, that doesn't mean always giving out handouts. But that means giving out handouts when needed, but also helping people pull themselves up by their bootstraps. To pray over those who are sick, James 5:16. To accept sinners where they are and help restore them, Galatians 6:2. To take the gospel to the ends of the earth, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. To disciple and help new believers, Matthew 28:19 through 20. To lift up and encourage others, Ephesians 4:19 and 20. To pray for others and fight against the enemy, Ephesians 6:10 through 18. To be unified, John 17. To raise up the next generation. You could go anywhere from Genesis to Revelation and see that. But if you want a New Testament passage, we'll just take all of Timothy, because that's what Paul was doing with Timothy, was raising up the next generation to carry the torch. And we could go on and on and on. But I think you get my drift. That if this is who Jesus was, and the disciples were writing the things that they learned from Jesus, whenever we read about James and Ephesians and places like that, these are things that they learned from Jesus. This is what the first church looked like. It looked like Jesus. And so if we are to look like Jesus, and we have the responsibility to represent him well, There's one thing that I want you to recognize about every single one of these things that I just shared with you with some scripture. I want you to recognize that every one of these that I just shared, all of these are about other people. They're about giving away our lives to others. And the only way that you can give your life away, so into the kingdom of God, people are part of the kingdom. That is the kingdom. Listen, to sow into other people takes intentional living. Intentionally, I will take care of the poor. Intentionally, I will pray over those who are sick. Intentionally, I will accept sinners where they are and help restore them. Intentionally, I will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And on and on and on we go. Intention. I will live this way because that's who my Jesus is. And if that's who he is, then that's who I am. And that's who we are. That's the way we're supposed to look. Now, to be honest with you, we can screw church up really, really good. Why? Because we got lots of flesh in here also who loves to do their own thing. That's why it's so important that we battle against the flesh to be more like Jesus. Listen. You know, I believe that what God has called our church to now is to give our lives away to people today, but not just stop there, but to give our lives away to the future generations, even to the ones who are unborn now. The kids and people we do not know yet that we have an opportunity today. It is our time. This is our time to sow into the future. And the way that we live now will determine what the future looks like for Desperation Church. I really believe that with all that I am. You know, when it comes to intentional living, you know, when we talked about the moment last week about what God's doing, I've got a good friend that I love dearly. He was from Gardendale First Baptist. He was a guy that I taught Sunday school with, and he just loves Jesus, old country boy. He owns a towing business, and I talk to him on a regular basis, once or twice a month, and he always says profound things, and he's usually crying in the middle of it. He's just a broken dude, and he said something to me the other day that I thought, like, oh, my gosh, that's it. He was talking about the moment, like there's a place where I'm going to have to sacrifice things that I enjoy and that I like right now, because I don't need to miss the moment. And I just thought, man, that's so good, Lynn. And so I saw him the other day, and I asked him to come into the church and shoot a video because I want y'all to hear him, all right? So I want you to hear what he has to say. He's just a layman. He's just a dude that works like the rest of us. But he's got his perspective, his perception is right. So I want you to check out. This is Lynn Hurst. Meet him. Right here.
This is my friend Lynn Hurst. He's a guy I used to teach Sunday school with at the church I was at before. He goes to Church of the Highlands, and God is doing some incredible stuff at Church of the Highlands. You're a layman. I mean, you're just like everybody else. Right. You're not on staff, but you come and you set up on a regular basis at the Fultondale campus for Highlands. Right. And you said something really profound that I just thought was absolutely incredible. And I wanted our people to hear that from somebody like you.
Yeah. There's so many stories, you know, just the empowerment that God's given us, you know, that we belong and we have a place that to serve. And it's sort of like what else has been going on here is just, it's too important. There's a time to hunt, and there's a time to go to the lake, and there's a time to do other things. But what God's called us to do and where we're at, where Deb and I are at, both at the... it's too important, and there'll be time later on there is time to go hunting, there is time to go and do that kind of thing, but the scripture that is so huge in our life is such a time as this. Right now is the time, and right now is the time ever before to do what God's calling you to do, because if you don't do it, somebody will do it, but you're going to miss out. We're going to miss out on what God wants to do in our lives.
Come on.
Through this. What I was thinking about the scripture from Nehemiah. Mm. And what I'd want to say to everybody here, there's a great work going on down here.
Yeah.
And I can't come down. When Nehemiah was on that wall, building that wall, they had brick in one hand and a sword in the other, and they wanted them to come down and talk about what they were doing. And there's a great work going on up here, and it's too important to come down. And when the wall's finished, there'll be time. When the work's done, there'll be time. But right now, there's a great work going on right here that needs to be done.
That's good. That's good. That's what I want people to hear. Such a time as this. So, hey, there's nothing wrong with going hunting, nothing wrong with going to football games, but there's a place where God's calling people, don't miss this moment. Don't miss what I'm doing now. And I really appreciate you. Appreciate you. Thank you, man.
By the way, I have my favorite shirt on. Hey, listen. Listen. What he said is true. I mean, he's talking about Highlands, and he's talking about here. He keeps up with what's going on here. And basically what he's saying is that what God is doing isn't too important to miss. And there are times that we're going to have to sacrifice. That doesn't mean that you just don't go hunting ever again. That's just stupid. It don't mean that you don't ever go to the lake. That's just stupid. But there's a time now where God is, we are in a moment where we are building the wall. And while everybody else is wanting us to come down and just take our time and coast, basically we have a sword in one hand to fight, and we got a brick in another hand to build. And God has called us to fight and to build, not only for this generation, but for the generations to come. What we do now matters. It matters for your babies. I was kind of hesitant to share a dream that I had because when I share dreams, everybody wants to start telling me their dreams that they have and stuff. I'm like, dude, that's just bad pizza. But I don't do this often. And I still believe that God speaks through dreams. And I had a dream a while back. It was actually about a month or two ago. And it's a little demented, but I need you to listen to me, okay? I dreamed that me and my wife went into a restaurant in Arab. We went to an Italian restaurant that's out there. And when we walked in, over the door was a wood-burning stove. I mean, not a stove, but like one of the things, this is almost like an igloo. It's where you cook pizzas. You know what I'm talking about? It was over the stove. I mean, over the door. And we walked in, and they said, hey, before we seat you, I just want to let you know that everybody's here is throwing babies into that fire. I'm like, what? They're putting babies up there. And so here's you a baby. Here's you a baby. And, you know, hey, you can throw your baby up there, too, if you want to. You can throw this baby in there and put it to death. And I was looking around. I'm like, all these people are sitting, laughing, eating, just enjoying themselves. And I'm looking at the baby, and I'm looking at the fire, and I'm looking at the people. I'm like, what? I ain't putting this baby in there. Are you kidding me? I am not. That's crazy, man. What's wrong with you people? I'm not doing that. I'm not throwing this baby in that fire. And all I could think about was the pain those babies were going through. And so me and my wife go and sit down, and I'm sitting looking at the little fire, the wood-burning fireplace. And all I could think about was, how can they go eat their lasagna and their pizza? And how can they do this, drink, eat, and be happy and kill babies? What's wrong? I'm looking at my wife, I'm like, what's wrong? What's going on? And I mean, I woke up taking my breath, wanting to cry. Like, thank you, Jesus, that because it was so vivid. And so I called my mentor up, David Jett, who I just absolutely love. And I said, man, let me tell you a dream that I had. And I don't ever do this. I don't ever have dreams like this. Usually mine are just really weird and crazy, like I'm hanging out with Barney or something. Listen. I was like, man, what is this? So I told him that dream, what I just told you. And he said, Andy, let me tell you what God's speaking to my spirit. Is that generations before you have thrown away the next generation. Churches have thrown away the next generation. And God's calling you and Desperation Church to rescue them. He's calling you to fight for them. He said, Andy, they're eating and drinking and being merry, enjoying themselves, throwing the next generation into the fire. And they're missing who God's called us to be. You know, the devil's always tried to kill the next generation. You realize that, don't you? I mean, you think about Jesus with King Herod. I told you I was going to tell you some of the Christmas story. What did he try to do? He tried to kill the next. Satan came on Herod for the purpose of killing Jesus. Number one, he didn't want the gospel to go through. But he tried to kill all the boys who were under two. Think about Moses. What did Moses do? They were killing boys. Pharaoh was killing kids. All Moses did was just, you know, set God's people free. I mean, the enemy's always trying to kill off the next generation. David told me a long time ago, my mentor said, Andy, it's not about you building a stage for yourself. It's not about Desperation Church. God's called you to raise up the next generation, called us to leave a legacy. Listen, I want to speak the other side of this. There are older people in here, and if you want to feel old, that's cool. I mean, whoever you are, senior adults, that the devil wears you out and tells you on a regular basis, like, I just think I'm entirely too old to come here. Or you know, I just don't feel worthy. Or I just, you know, I just don't know if this place is for me. I just don't know if I have any purpose here. Are you kidding me? That's the enemy. If there's anybody that needs you, it's us. If you're older, if you're a senior adult, don't let the devil lie to you. Those babies need you. Desperately. We need you desperately. We need you. And God's called us. Listen, I really believe that churches today are missing the next generation. The largest black hole, the biggest black hole in churches is the 18 to 34 year old generation. It's a black hole in churches. The church is in the largest decline it's ever seen in its entire life in America, dropping off the map, declining. By the year 2030, there will be over half of churches will have their doors closed because we gave up the next generation. And God has always called us to go after the next generation and to leave a legacy. And if we do not, I believe we miss God's call. That's why the way we sow now will benefit the future. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important that you do your part. Now here's what we're going to do. Something different. I got some time. Listen, all the kids from DC Kids are fixing to come in. We're fixing to see the next generation. I want us to give it up when they come in. Stand up and shout and yell for the next generation coming in here. And we're going to pray for them. We're going to worship with them. And I want you to see with your own eyes, these are the leaders of the future. All right? Let's give it up for the babies. Come on. Come on, bring them in. Come on.
Smoking, but
you know,
I'm here,
I like it.
Yeah, I'm working on
it. I like that
down.
Energy.
Couple girls trying to twerk it on me. Wait, no,
woo!
No.
Come on, baby. But you look at that.
I'm in here with my lady.
Oh, my goodness.
See me, man.
Caleb, get up, boy.
Man, I'm in here trying to celebrate a birthday. And you know I'm going to
come on, get
that
little bit, man. Get down. Let's get them all up here.
We still got
come on.
And we
all right, y'all stand there. Stand there. Share with us a little bit. And listen, I need all y'all to show them some of the things you do in DC Kids. And so I think Adam's going to help us out with that. Tell us a little bit about this generation and what your heartbeat is for them. Y'all come on in here. I want all y'all in here. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right, that's scared. Come on. Come on. Come on right there. Oh, y'all scared to death. All right, grab them around. Yeah, come around. All right, come on. All right, talk to them.
All right, so a little bit about the heartbeat of Desperation Kids is, man, we are not just raising up kids, we're raising up world changers, all right? We're raising up a generation that can do more than we ever did because they've already done more than we've already did. Look, we're teaching them that not only can God lead them, but they can lead others to God, all right? We're teaching them that they can not only receive the love of God, but they can give that love to the world. And then finally, we're teaching them that they can not only serve God, but they can give their lives away and serve others. And so that's what DC Kids is about. You're not just looking at kids right now, you're really looking at some world changers, okay? All right. And so, yes, we are going to kind of give you a little bit of demonstration. For those of you that have ever been, like, literally Andy's point one, like, really serious message, and you hear screaming, well, it's because we got a little bit of a scream contest. And if, like, point two, you ever hear, like, this... It's because we also have a little bit of a dance competition, especially when it comes to our rules. And so we're going to give you guys a little bit of a demonstration about what that looks like. Now, having said that, kids, you all know, raise your hand if you know what rule number one is. Which one of you kids can tell me what is rule number one? All right, Caden, what is rule number one? It is respect God. Look, rule number one, the plane does not even get off the ground in DC, kids, if we don't, man, give God the respect and praise that he deserves. And we also listen to what he's going to receive. Now, having said that, these guys are going to show you a little bit what that looks like. So, kids, can you please turn around and can you find your parent in the audience? They are somewhere in here. If you can't find them, just find, oh, gosh, oh, Caleb. Caleb's going to get it right now. All right. Now, find whoever you came here with. Don't actually go on the audience because that would be weird. But I want you to kind of look at them, and I want you to mean mug them, like give them like the stank eye. Like that was probably inappropriate. Probably shouldn't say that. But anyways, what's going to happen is, kids, this is your one opportunity to yell at your parent as loud as you want and then really not be able to do anything about it because Pastor Adam said so. All right. So I'm going to say what's rule number one. And, kids, I'm going to need you to do what you do best. So, kids, are you ready? Kids, are you ready? All right, kids, what's your number one?
Free!
Ooh. All right, now, and also in DC, kids, we, like I said, we have a little bit of a dance competition, all right? And so what we're going to do is, kids, I'm going to need you to get ready what to do, what you do best, and that's just kind of whipping Nene a little bit. In fact, they're going to play the music just like they do in there, and as soon as you hear that beat drop, I'm going to need you to drop like it's 1983, okay? So, Jordan, are you ready?
You already know it.
Come on, kids.
Silent talk.
Silent
talk. Silent talk. Gonna do it for me.
Now watch me whip.
Kill it.
Now watch me, Nene. Now watch me whip, whip. Watch me, nay, nay.
Why me do it?
Now watch me whip.
Kill it.
Watch me, nay, nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip, whip. Watch me, nay, nay.
Can you do it?
Now watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh,
okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh, watch me. Watch me.
Ooh, I'm going to say, ooh. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Pastor Andy.
Come on. All right. Here's what we're going. Kayla, where'd you get your dance moves from? One from Daddy, I promise you.
New York.
All right, listen. New York. Random. I don't know where he gets that from either. Hey, listen. Here's what we're going to do. I want us, as a generation in front of them, and while you're doing this, I want us to pray for the right kids also. That's a generation in front of us also. But I want us to reach our hands out, and I want us to pray for the next generation, that God would raise these babies up to be not only the leaders in Desperation Church, but be leaders maybe other churches, plant their own churches, go to other churches, maybe missionaries, but just raise up the next generation to be who God's called them to be. So let's reach our hands out towards them, and let's just pray over these babies right here. Let's pray over these students, these kids. Father, I thank you for all these children that are represented. Father, I know you're calling our church to another level of faith, and the devil hates it with a passion. And Father, the Bible says very plainly that we should have the faith of a child. God, there are so many things that these kids represent in the area of who God is that, God, we've lost as adults. We've lost it in the meantime of pains of this world, religion, so many other things. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we'd have a faith, the faith of a child, and that you'd move on us, in us, and through us. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you'd raise these students up to be warriors. Raise them up to be people of God. Raise them up to be the next leaders of this church. God, help us as adults to sow into these guys, the next generation, to do what's right, to use us, Father, for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you're about. We love you and we praise you. in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, can we give the Lord a hand? Come on. Hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship with the next generation. All right, we're going to worship with them. We're going to get after it. Now, listen, this is a song they all know and they all love. And I think a lot of you have heard this song and love it also. And so if they get a little crazy, maybe we should learn from them a little bit. I don't know. All right. But let's worship a little bit. Are y'all ready to worship? Babies, y'all ready to worship? DC kids, come on. Let's get after it. All right, here we go. Here we go. Let's worship. Can we give it up really loud? Can we give it up for DC kids in here? Come on. Thank y'all for leading us. Y'all, come on. Follow those guys out right there. Come on. I love you guys. Love you. Love you. Hey, listen. Some of you might be thinking like, man, what in the world is this church teaching those people? Those kids. What are they teaching them? I'm going to be honest with you. There's a place where we need to be thinking the other way. What can these kids teach me? It's the purity of faith. It's the purity, the innocence. And some of you kind of remember when you worshiped like this when you was a kid. The freedom in the way you worshiped. And I would ask you, what happened? What happened? If you're thinking like, man, them people are crazy, tell you what happened. Pain. Things this world threw at you that you didn't know was coming, curveballs. How about religion took a place? There's a place where we almost lost our innocence and our walk with Jesus. That's why I think God says, learn from a child. So in the same way that we can teach children the stories of Jesus and his beauty and his greatness, there's also a place where we can learn from the babies, from the children, the innocence. If you were critical, I'd start asking God today for freedom. Because that's what faith looks like. Listen, God's calling us to another level of faith. I don't know what that looks like for you individually. I have no clue. I don't know. I know he's calling our church to it. And the devil does not like it. I mean, he is ticked. But here's the big picture. God's taking us to another level. He's taking you to another level. It's all about, God, will you listen? And will I go? And the way that we sow now, sacrificially, the mystery, walking by faith, will reap the harvest of generations to come. The unborn, the ones we don't even know yet. The decisions we make now, it will determine what the future looks like. For Desperation Church, for these babies, for you and your family, make the right decisions. Sow into the kingdom. It's the only thing that lasts. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for the people in this room.